Well, friends, it is good to be together this morning and looking forward to these coming weeks as we move toward Palm Sunday, as we move into Holy Week, not too far from there. So I want to encourage you as we get to that. I've been asking you to be praying about a person that you've been thinking about, a person to reach out to invite to come to Easter. And today I want to put a simple tool in your hand to help you with that. In the narthex, there's a simple card. Looks like this, Easter on the front, New Hope logo. On the back side is a lot of information. We invite you to come. Here's a little map to help you get there. Some information about the website and so forth. But it's the front I really want to draw you to. All right, it's very simple, Easter. But down here's a line that says you've been invited by, and then an empty line. So what I want you to do is I want you to get at least one of these cards because you've been praying for one person that you want to reach out to. Right? I want you to take one of these cards, pray with this card, and then I want you to be able to take that card and invite a friend, a family member to worship. But I want you to do more than sort of stealthily stick the card over there. Right? I don't want you to sort of walk by and fling the card out at them. I want you to say, look, I want you to come to Easter with me. You're going to write your name, write your phone number, your email address or whatever on the front of this card and say, contact me. I'll come pick you up. If you need a ride, let me know. I want to give you a ride. Or I will meet you at the door. Like when you get here, I'll be there at the door waiting for you. So text me when you get here. Call me when you get here. I want to be ready so I can show you my class that I want you to come with me. I can walk you into the sanctuary, walk you into the celebration service. So I want it to be more than just flinging the card out, right? I want it to be related to the person you've been praying for. Now, if you're thinking, Randy, I don't know who to give this to. I don't have that one person. Then I want you to take this card, and with this card, I want you to pray that God will show you the person you need to reach out to, the person you live near, the person you work with, the person you're going to school with, right? Someone that you want to reach out to. And invite to come with you on Easter. All right, so our Easter worship services are going to be a normal schedule. 8:45 worship, 9:45 Bible study, and 11 o'clock worship. The reason we're doing a normal schedule is because it makes it easier for you to reach out to your friends. Right? It makes it easier for you to direct them to the website where the normal schedule is listed. It makes it easier for you not only to invite them on Easter, but to say, hey, you know what? Next Sunday, come back with me. Same time. Same place. Right? Come back with me again. So I want you to, these cards are on the table in the narthex. Right? If we run out of them, let me know. We'll get another one into your hands. They'll be there next week as well. So pray for that one person. If you're thinking, Randy, why just one? Why not 10? Amen. Take 10 with you. But I want you to pray especially for one. Right? One that you want to reach out to. And now you have a card to hold on to put into your Bible, to remind you, to pray for that person, and then to extend that invitation to the person. There's a guy named Patel. Patel works at Jersey Mike's just around the corner there on Capitol. So I took him one of these cards this week and said, you know, I've met Patel. I met his grandson, Shane, there at Jersey Mike's. His whole family, I think, runs that Jersey Mike's there. So I've just decided every Friday around 1 or 2 o'clock, I'm going to Jersey Mike's. I'm saying hello to Patel. Now I'm saying hello to Shane and how they're doing, asking how their family's doing. This week, I said, look, I don't know if you guys go to church. I don't even know if have any interest in this, but I just want you to come with me. Right? Come with me. I put my name, my phone number. I gave it to Patel there at Jersey Mike's. It's that easy. Reach out to a person that God has placed in your life. Invite them to come with you. So we are approaching Palm Sunday and Holy Week and Easter. But in Mark's gospel, right before Jesus enters into Jerusalem, we have this story of him coming across this very loud and persistent beggar. And I want us to read that together in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. So the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, beginning of verse 46 and through the end of chapter, verse 52. Let's read that story together. They came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we pray each week as we open your word together, gather around the scriptures, that this word would not just be something that would fall on deaf ears. It wouldn't be something just that would deflect off our lives, but God, it would sink deeply. We want to be shaped, Lord, in the image of your Son, Jesus. We want the word to seep within us. We want to know that our stories are being drawn into a story so much bigger than our own. So help us see that again this morning as we think about this encounter with Jesus and Bartimaeus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So these folks who sternly ordered Bartimaeus to be quiet, I don't understand what they were thinking. Right? These are folks and some of the disciples, they had been walking with Jesus. Right? They had been with Jesus in his ministry. They had seen Jesus stop along the way and heal people. They had seen Jesus sit inside a house and people were bringing people to Jesus to heal them. They even saw, and you may remember this story, this moment Jesus was going from one place to another because he'd been asked to come and heal someone's daughter. And all the crowd, the whole entourage stopped because there was a woman who reached out to touch the edge of his cloak. Right, Jesus stopped the whole parade at that moment because someone, by faith, was reaching out to Jesus. Right, so here he's leaving Jericho. He's headed to Jerusalem. I don't understand what they're thinking by telling Bartimaeus, "Shh, be quiet." So I've always wondered what was in their mind. I think it may have been one or two things. It's either they believe that Jesus is so focused on getting to Jerusalem that they don't want anything to mess with Jesus' focus. That Jesus is headed to Jerusalem. The disciples don't fully understand why he's going to Jerusalem, but he said he's going, he's going to give his life. On the third day, he's going to rise again. They don't truly get all that, but they know he's headed to Jerusalem for something big, and they don't want anything to disturb what Jesus is doing. So they're sort of surrounding Jesus, and here they're telling Bartimaeus, "Shh, Jesus has got important things to do." Right, he's got really important things to do. He doesn't have time to stop and deal with this beggar on the side of the road. Do you remember Jesus telling a story about a good Samaritan? Do you remember in that story that it was a priest who walked on the other side of the road away from a guy who was hurting and in need? Do you remember it was a Levite, a religious worker, who walked on the other side of the road across this man who was in need? And Jesus called out that hypocrisy among them. But here they are again trying to shush and silence the person who's sitting on the side of the road in need. They don't yet fully understand that the very reason Jesus is headed to Jerusalem is to offer his life a sacrifice for those who are stuck in hurt and in need and in sin. I mean, the reason he's dying upon the cross is to show the world the great love of God for everybody, including a beggar on the side of the road. But I wonder if it's another reason. The second reason I often think about is that the disciples, the crowd, is so focused on being with Jesus, so focused on their little moment with Jesus. They're having a precious moment walking with Jesus that they don't want the disruption that someone who's a beggar brings. Right? They're enjoying their walk, Jericho to Jerusalem. They're focused. The disciples are focused. The crowd is focused. And someone yelling out on the side of the road is a disruption to their plan, a disruption to what they want to do with Jesus. And that one's a little scarier Because that second reason is a bit selfish and hard-hearted, and it's very often where we can find ourselves as a church. The disciples and the crowd are moving happily with Jesus toward Jerusalem. They want anything to break up their happy little party, especially someone who's hurting and in need. And so they sternly order Bartimaeus to be quiet because he's disruptive. We don't want anything disrupting our moment. We don't want anything disrupting our life in the church. I mean, we're happy to welcome people into the church as long as they look like us and they act like us and they know how to sit down and be quiet like us. But heaven forbid someone come into the church that disrupted our notion of what it meant to be church. Heaven forbid someone come in and their clothes didn't smell like your clothes, or their hair didn't look like your hair. We can get trapped in this in the church so quickly. Where again, we're thrilled when you come in and you know how to act, but as soon as someone gets out of character, out of line, we're like, pipe down, be quiet, shh, Randy's got to preach, be quiet. It's the disruption they were scared of, these disciples. Because to deal with Bartimaeus was going to be complicated, it was going to be a little bit messy. Even though he's crying out, Jesus, Son of David, he's crying out this messianic title, have mercy on me. But I want you to know something. I want you to know that I am praying, and I will continue to pray, that God will fill New Hope with disruption. That God will fill New Hope with those who are hurting, with those who are in need, with those that nobody else wants to welcome, right? I pray the city of Raleigh would say, you know what? I don't know where you can go to find help. I don't know where you can go looking like you're looking, but I understand that New Hope Baptist will let anybody come in and worship with them. I'm praying for that. And I'm inviting you to pray the same with me, because that just seems to me biblical. That seems to me what the church is all about. That we would be a place, that we would be a people that will welcome Bartimaeus and will welcome all of Bartimaeus' family with him at all times. So I want you to know I'm praying for that, and I invite you to pray with me on that. And so after they tell Bartimaeus to shut up, he cries out even more loudly, and good for him, right? Good for Bartimaeus, because at some point along in his life, he'd heard of Jesus. Right, he had heard that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, could heal people, could help the hurting. And there was nothing that was going to stop Bartimaeus from reaching out to the one man who might change his life, the one man who might make a difference in his life. And he certainly wasn't going to let the crowd dictate that moment for him. He wasn't going to let a bunch of religious people walking down the road tell him to be quiet when there is the one man that might be able to help him. The one man that could change his life. And so he cries out, Jesus, have mercy on me. Right? And someone in the crowd is like, be quiet, you filthy beggar. Well, Bartimaeus took that and said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Even louder. Shh, be quiet. Jesus is too busy. He's got places to go. And what does he do? He just gets even louder. There's no way in the world Bartimaeus is going to miss this moment with the one man walking by on the road that could help him, that could save him, that could change his life. He is not going to miss it. And man, is he persistent. Bartimaeus is so persistent. Now, there's a whole other sermon right there that we need to preach some other time. The persistence of Bartimaeus, right? Persistence to reach for Jesus, the persistence not to let the crowd get in the way, the persistence to find Jesus and have Jesus change his life. A whole nother sermon, we'll work on that another time. But we learn in verse 52 at the end there that his persistence is based deep down in a faith. Right? Bartimaeus believes, he has faith that this man might change his life, that this man might help him. This, you know, might move him from where he is to somewhere new. And so he's going to call out. And calling out, a few from the crowd finally go to Bartimaeus. And if you look again there at the end of verse 49, Jesus stops the whole procession. he hears a man crying out by faith for mercy, for help. Jesus says, call him to come here. And I love the way this story moves at this point, right? They go to Bartimaeus and they say, listen, take heart, get up, he's calling you. Take heart, get up, Jesus is calling you. Now, hopefully in this scene, you've been forming a picture in your mind, right? As we've been talking about, as we read the text, you have begun to see the story in your mind, this group of people walking down a dusty dirt road from Jericho to Jerusalem, you know, talking, laughing, concerned, whatever it is. And there is this man sitting on the side of the road. He's probably sitting with his legs crossed. He's got his, you know, cloak around him outside. He's begging for alms. You see that picture in your own mind. You see the picture of the story. What I want you to do right now is in your mind, in your sanctified imagination, go take a seat beside Bartimaeus, right? Sit down, cross your legs, sit down beside Bartimaeus. Because friends, every one of us in this sanctuary right now is just like Bartimaeus. Every one of us is in need of the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Every one of us needs to sit down beside this beggar, because when we sit down beside him, what we recognize is we're not sitting beside a beggar, we're a beggar sitting beside someone else who's just like us in need. And as you sit down beside Bartimaeus in your mind, hear the call that came to Bartimaeus. Take heart, get up, he's calling you. Take heart, that part of that call, take heart, is this notion of be encouraged. In other translations, you see it as cheer up, right? Take heart, be encouraged. Because this man who's been disabled for his whole life, now is disabled as an adult, he's been beaten down in that ancient world. Right, in that ancient world, to walk through with his disability was to be pushed aside. Thank God it's not like that anymore. Right? We've come a long way. We've done better of thinking about what does it mean to welcome everybody into our midst. But in the ancient world, if you didn't contribute, you were pushed aside. Right? You were relegated to the side of the road, outside of the group, to be left to the mercy of others and their generosity or their lack of generosity. So it was discouraging or disheartening to want to contribute and not be able to want to be with others but be pushed to the side, to want to feel welcomed but to be relegated to the outside and fringes of the group. And so as you sit there beside Bartimaeus in your mind, how do you feel discouraged this morning? Where do you feel disheartened this morning? Has a situation in the workplace been beating you down and left you feeling discouraged and disheartening? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get past this. Has there been a diagnosis in your family or maybe even for you yourself that has left you disheartened and not knowing what to do next? Are you disheartened because depression has a hold on you? Is it disheartened because things haven't turned out the way you thought they were supposed to turn out? Jesus says, take heart. Take heart. Now listen, take heart is not about me calling you to take heart. It's not about the crowd calling you to take heart, right? It's Jesus who's calling. And that's why Bartimaeus can hear that notion of being encouraged, not just some empty promise. It's not somebody walking up to Bartimaeus who's been on the side of the road for a long time, trying to get help, trying to find his way. It's not someone saying, Bartimaeus is going to be okay. How many times had Bartimaeus probably heard that? Hey, hang in there, Bartimaeus. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. He knew that was an empty lie given to him. But now he hears, take heart, and he can take heart. He can be encouraged, not because somebody was calling him, but because Jesus was calling him. Jesus in particular was calling him. And that's the same for you and same for me. Right? Jesus is the one calling you to take heart. So be encouraged. Because you can come and find in him by faith that hurting hearts can be healed. You can come and find the direction you need in the midst of the confusion you're facing, the madness that is life sometimes. You can come and find that there is a Savior and there is a community that will wrap their arms around you and love you no matter what station you occupy in life, no matter what past sins haunt you, No matter what weight or baggage you're still trying to carry around, there is a Savior who loves you. There is a community who will welcome you with open arms. Take heart. Be encouraged. Find new strength, not in yourself, but in the one who's calling you. But take heart's only part of the call, right? There's a second part of the call. Look again there at verse 49, right? They come and tell him, take heart. And then what do they tell Bartimaeus to do? Get up. Get up. Jesus is calling you. Take heart. Get up. Now listen, ancient beggars weren't supposed to get up. They knew their place, right? They were supposed to stay on the side of the road. That was where they belonged, right? Those who were able walked. Those who couldn't sat on the side of the road. You didn't get up. If I wanted to come help you as a beggar, I would go to with my good legs and I would go help you, right? You were supposed to stay where you were, seated on the side of the road. But here is Jesus telling somebody that the rest of the world said, stay out of the picture, stay on the side of the road, to get up. Get off the side of the road, come to the middle of the road right where I am. Come and meet me. Take heart and get up. Every good call requires a response, doesn't it? It requires us to respond to what God is doing. It was true for Bartimaeus, it's true for you and me. Moving from disheartened to taking heart, moving from discouragement to encouragement requires that we hear the call of Jesus in our life and get up and respond. You can't be truly renewed in your faith, renewed in strength, if you want to sit on the sidelines of what's happening around you. Right? You can't know the life-giving power of salvation in Jesus Christ if all you want to do is tip your toe in the life-giving waters. That's why I love baptism and praying that God will move us quickly toward another baptism. We have a youth that's interested, and Brian is working with him as we get ready for another baptism. But I love baptism. Right? You don't go into the baptismal waters and profess your faith in Jesus Christ and then just kind of move your foot around in the waters, do you? No, you go in there and you get plunged into the water all the way under, all the way back up. Right? Just the very picture of baptism is the notion of get up and respond to this life-giving message that Jesus Christ has for us. Get up, Bartimaeus. Come join Jesus in the center of the road. Right? You have to respond. Respond in prayer. Right? Pray with all your heart for God to move, for God to lead. Be as persistent in prayer as Bartimaeus was in crying out for Jesus. Right? Be as persistent in your praying as Bartimaeus was in crying out, Lord, have mercy on me. Right? Respond by joining your life with others in the life of the church. Right? We can talk about faith as personal, but friends, faith is never private. Faith is always about a community of people, always being together with others. It's a personal decision, but it draws you into a community. Did you notice what Bartimaeus did? After he got up, he responded to Jesus. After Jesus healed him and gave him sort of a new sense of life, Bartimaeus didn't go sit back down on the side of the road, did he? What did he do there at the end of verse 52? He joined with everybody else and he began to walk the way of Jesus Christ. He followed Jesus. Every one of us is called to do the same. Cry out, God is calling you, get up, and now let's go on the way with Jesus together. Join with others in a class. Join with others in a ministry and a team. Be with others. Friends, to get up, you're going to have to risk letting go of your way and joining Jesus on his way. And if you're here this morning and you've never made that decision to trust Jesus as your Savior, you've never been baptized, friends, I'm inviting you to hear that call, right? To hear that message, to hear Jesus coming and saying, take heart, I love you, I've given my life for you. Get up, it's time to respond. Don't push away anymore. I'll be down front here at the end of the service. I'd love to pray with you. But there's also those decision cards, those contact cards in the pew rack behind, right there in front of you. Take one of those cards. Say, Randy, I'm not real big on coming down the front. That's fine. Take one of those cards. Fill it out. Indicate, hey, I need to talk more about what it means to follow Jesus. I need to talk more about what it means to be baptized. I want to be a member of the church. but I need to talk. I need to sit down. Let's do that. We'll get together. And we will celebrate how you are ready to get up and follow in the way of Jesus. Take heart and get up. For Bartimaeus, both of those made sense because it was Jesus who was calling him. Take heart, get up. He is calling you. Of all the people in the world, he called to this beggar on the side of the road, "You, Bartimaeus, get up and come." Friends, Jesus is calling you. He is calling you. And you may say in your mind, "Randy, I've got 100 reasons why not right now why Jesus should call somebody else and not me. I've got a whole pass that we could talk about, all the reasons why I shouldn't be called by Jesus for anything." No, Jesus is calling you. He is calling you. And there's no you in the world that Jesus can't work with, that Jesus can't change their lives. Think about the people that Jesus called unto himself. He began with a group of fishermen, some religious zealots, a tax collector, right? Jesus reached into the IRS and called a disciple. If they can be called, anybody can be called, right? You're like, should I laugh at this or should I not laugh at this? I'm not sure. If my dad is listening right now, my dad worked for the IRS for a long time, although he started with the Drug Enforcement Agency, so he was more on an enforcement side of things. But man, if they can call from the IRS, they call a tax collector, Matthew, they can call anybody. He called women, he called men, he called leprous, he called the lame, he called those who couldn't go with anybody else. I mean, he called people left and right to come and be with him. He called high-ranking Jewish leaders. He called it hated Roman centurions. He even called a man who violently persecuted the church and turned him into the missionary Paul. There's no you out there that Jesus can't change. He is calling you. Take heart. Get up. He's calling you. And how was it that Bartimaeus responded? Do you still see in your mind, you're sitting there with Bartimaeus? In verse 50, how did he respond? He threw off his cloak and he sprang up and went to Jesus. Man, I love that picture right there. Right? Friends, you've got to throw off your cloak. And you're thinking, right now, I don't even know what a cloak is. I don't know if I have a cloak. But Bartimaeus is probably sitting there on the side of the road, probably got an outer garment, flowing kind of outer garment wrapped around him as he's begging for alms. But Jesus says, get up. And he throws that thing off of him because it's going to slow him down getting to Jesus. Friends, it's time to throw off whatever is slowing you down getting to the Lord Jesus. It's time to throw off whatever is hindering you, whatever you're scared of, whatever's stopping you. You need to throw that off and spring up and get to Jesus. If you need a biblical model of what it looks like to respond to the call of God, to respond to the call of Jesus, there it is in Bartimaeus. Throw off everything that's hindering, that's stopping you, whatever is slowing you down, whether that's throwing off your fear of responding for the very first time to embrace Jesus as Savior, to move toward baptism, throw off the fear. Let the Spirit of God draw you unto himself. Whether that's serving on a ministry team, whether that's jumping into a service opportunity, going on a mission trip, serving with children's ministry, youth ministry, whatever it is, throw it off and join in. Jump up and serve with the Lord Jesus. Jump up and serve in the life of the church. Throw off whatever is hindering you and spring up and come to Jesus. So if you're still seeing this picture in your mind and you're still sitting there beside Bartimaeus, friends, Bartimaeus has already left you behind. Because he sprung up like his tail was on fire and got to Jesus. And we're called to do the same. Spring up and respond. And you're thinking, Randy, my days of springing up anywhere are gone. Spring up metaphorically. Spring up in your spirit. You know what I'm saying, right? Spring up and respond to the ways in which Jesus is calling you to come and follow him. Now, I've asked you to think about this story more on an individual basis, where you're thinking about you sitting there beside Bartimaeus, but I want to widen that scope out now to the whole of New Hope Baptist Church. Right? Because New Hope Baptist Church, friends, we are Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road, and it's time for us to take heart. It's time for us to get up because Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. It's time for us to throw off the collective cloak and spring up and follow Jesus to the future he has for us. I know that we could say, man, lately the numbers have been down, the energy's been down. It's time to let all that go. It's time to move forward. We're not going back anywhere. We can't get back to anywhere. It's time to move forward to the future God has for us in Jesus. Right? No more sitting on the roadside, no more watching and begging. It's time to throw off that cloak. It's time to throw off fear. It's time to throw off worry. It's time to repent of any division, of any bickering, of any small-minded thinking that we've been trapped in. It's time to repent of that stuff, turn away from that stuff. It's time to spring to our feet and come to Jesus. And friend, it's come to Jesus. It's not come to me. It's not come to any other leader in the life of this church. It's not come to any group in this church. It's time for us to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and listen for his call for us as we move into the future. It's time to come like Bartimaeus and come to say, Lord, let us see. Let us see again. Let us see your glory at work among us again. Let us see the grace-filled movement in our lives, in the life of our church, in the life of our community. Let us see that glory shining brightly so that our world and our community can hear the hope of the gospel. New Hope Baptist Church, it's time to take heart. Get up, because Jesus is calling. Father, thank you for this story, this moment in which Jesus stopped the whole parade and invited Bartimaeus to himself. Thank you for Bartimaeus. Thank you for this example from this beggar who threw off everything that was hindering him and jumped up, sprang up to come to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us be Bartimaeus this morning. Show us what we need to throw off. Show us what is hindering us. Show us where we're holding on to sin. Show us where fear is mastering us rather than faith. God, and renew us. Renew our hearts. Renew our feet and our legs that we can spring up and follow you, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name, together we pray. Amen.